episode 27? Is it 27? 26. We'll figure it out. Of the Traveling Mages, your show focusing on the magic lifestyle, current magic news, and anything else we come up with. I'm your host, Jose Lee, and returning today we have Dan the Hulk.
Hulk smash.
And my good friend from Seoul, South Korea, Josh.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Unfortunately, the Hulk is actually quite tired these days.
Yeah, you got to turn with it like the Gray Hulk now, right? Because that's the intelligent one.
Yeah, that is the intelligent one.
Say Josh would know.
I'm glad you guys actually know that. Honestly, it's more along the lines of the fact that I've been studying what we call the Course 15, and it's kind of make or break for me at this point. I've put off Magic, like, totally. I didn't even go to Legacy this weekend because of the fact that this is so make or break for me that if I don't get this done by September, I'm out of the service.
Wow.
Literally, yeah. They won't allow me to reenlist if I'm not done by September, and I've got two sets. One set is about 600 pages. Second set is about 800 pages. So needless to say, I grinded it out, and in a matter of about a week and a half time, I read through all key terms and most of it and through the whole first set in about a week and a half. I already pretty much scheduled my first test. I'm going to try to see if I can get it done and knocked out about 17 scenario-based questions. And just get it done, man, and then go for the second one, man, because there's no way in hell I didn't come 11 years to get kicked out from something like this, something that's supposed to be a professional military education enhancement.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully you get it, man.
No, I appreciate it. But yeah.
That 11 years, man, that's whenever you're like 10 years in one day, you're like, oh, I guess I'm going 20.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody watch that SCG?
Yeah, oh my God. Oh, I didn't watch the modern results, but I was watching the replay, and I saw CVM, which, by the way, we're trying to get on the show again. I just watched him just smash with his green-red deck.
I have not seen any of it, so basically no spoilers for me. I just watched the first round for the TCG Player Invitational, so I'm a little behind.
Yeah. So, wait, TCG and Player Invitationals, wouldn't who was that just Facebook messaged? Or no, he Facebook or was it tweeted that he got second place today?
I'm not hearing this.
Oh, all right. I won't spoil it. Well, I mean, at the least, did you see the SCG Invitational as far as like the modern stuff, or did you just watch?
I can't really tell because the channel I'm actually watching it on, which is GGS Live, doesn't really give a good description of what's going on within the actual video that you're watching. Just says basic titles, which is the TCG Player Invitational Round 1. Doesn't even tell me what players are playing in it or anything.
Oh my, that's horrible.
Yeah, I've been looking for a good, aside from Magic the Gathering's official channel, I've been looking for a good method of watching it.
They don't have a Twitch or anything like that?
I work during the day, so I can't watch it on Twitch.
Horrible. Yeah, that's going to be kind of hard to pull off. Well, the SCG Invitational that just happened, the 16-rounder, cool to discuss that. You guys ready to hear it?
I mean, we got to. That's what the show is for.
Right. Well, I'm looking at it now, and Ali Antrazi, who in the finals went against CVM, and obviously that's another reason why you do need to get CVM back on. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to get Ali Antrazi on, but that would be cool since he won the whole thing.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
Ali Antrazi, I got to the point where I watched him in the quarterfinals going against it was JB Milo, and it was the first actual recorded match. I got about three games in before it was like, I think 12:30, and I was like, I got to get to bed, man, because even though I had coffee in my system from the studying, I was just like, dude, I got to get to bed because I got to wake up at 6 in the morning. But Ali Antrazi was up two games, and one of the most ridiculous games of all was he was on the verge of losing in game two and literally came back by simply – He was top decking like there was no tomorrow, trying his best with his ancient stirrings to find something, and he finally found an Ugin off the second ancient stirrings, and wow. Ugin pretty much just took the whole game.
Wow,
it's incredible because like Ali was definitely he knew the ins and outs of the deck because I mean I played Gertron before, but not the way that Ali Antrazi played it. Like Ali Antrazi was wasting even his spheres and his stars just to loot. I mean, just to sit there and loot, whether he had something to play or not, because he just wanted to thin out the deck so he could get those answers. Me, I used to hold back because I would wait for those ancient stirrings and the pyroclasms and things that I could actually use the red and green mana on, and or until I actually got a Grove of the Burnwillows. You know what I mean? It definitely brings a different take, and I might actually put the Gertron back together before I get back to the States. So CVM was playing Bloom Titan.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was kind of a little upset. I mean, because I want him to champion the green red deck. I think it's, for example, over here in South Korea, it's woefully underrepresented, and I would like for it to pop out a little bit more. So
which green red?
He's playing green red dragons.
Yep.
Oh, no. I meant in modern.
Yeah, I know. But so, okay. I mean, so I wanted him to do well because of that. And so I was like, all right, right. Well, you know what? I think that's great. And I was like, what's he playing in modern? Bloom Titan.
It's one of the highest percentage rated decks of winning at this moment, which is, and I was talking with Angel about it. And I said, man, highly likely they're going to ban some stuff from that deck because it's got such a high win percentage rate. And if you're running the four of – I mean, there's two versions of it, and particularly it deals with just the separate cards are you're either running four Ancient Stirrings mm-hmm. or you're running four what's the ape? I can't remember. The one you could discard for red.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're – something shaman. He's a shaman of some type. Yeah.
Is he? What set is he in?
You know what? Man, that's a good question.
I remember the ability. You have to exile him.
Yes. Okay. So the difference between the two is obviously one is faster than the other. One of those versions can FTK, first turn kill you. You won't even get your chance because basically it goes like this. The hand is that shaman, what's the little artifact? Sorry, I'm a little out of it, guys.
That's what we need, like Brooks, man.
Yeah, when I don't get no sleep, it pretty much affects a lot of my thought process, even while I'm reading. So,
we're notorious for not knowing card names on this show. So,
yeah, I know we've done that so many times in the past, right?
Oh, remember the abilities, but not the names of the cards.
Our first show was all about – we went on, what is it, Regal Force. We couldn't remember Regal Force for like 20 minutes. That was like half the show. It was bad.
Wow.
It's like trying to guess what the heck we were playing, right? No, so the hand is a Bounce Land, a Simian Spirit Guide. Okay, that's the one
that's
we're talking about.
That's what it is. But he's a shaman creature type, right?
No, it's just the ape spirit.
Okay, screw that ape. I mean, insane. Whatever.
So it's a Simian Spirit Guide, the artifact that allows you to untap the lands. Basically, you're going to go with Simian Spirit Guide. You do that for the artifact. You play that one red for the artifact. And then you play your bounce land. It untaps you, tap it for mana, and you pretty much bounce it back to your hand, that same land. And then you go into Bloom. It's one green, one colorless Summer Bloom, I believe it is. And it allows you to play three more lands. That same tap land can tap for three. You can do it three times more to get six mana and play into Titan. Now Titan. Now obviously, if you're not going to go the Titan route, you can go into the and the FTK actually has to go with the enchantment that allows you to pretty much copy your opponent copies the spell that you play. So that's pretty much the FTK. You go through that notion, you make your six mana, you play that enchantment, and you play one of your packs, and then your opponent
Yeah,
they cannot pay for the packs, so they literally lose on the first turn.
That just sounds like legacy crap.
It does.
Now, obviously, the other style of it is it's a lot more slower, but obviously, as you can see, it got piloted by CVM all the way through. Now, the difference is he's running Dragon Lord Dromoka as one of in there rather than the Oracle of Muldaia, which is supposed to be, I don't know, the Dragon Lord, which obviously I think it's just because of the fact that he doesn't allow your opponent to try to stop the process of you winning at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the can't cast spells during your turn, and exactly. She can't be countered when she comes out. Plus, it's flying lifelink.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like a 5/7 dragon on the first turn? what was his standard deck?
That was that green red dragons I was talking about.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well then.
Yeah, it's the one that runs, what is it, Thunderbreak Regent, and what is it? There's been some innovation to it lately. I don't know about his list specifically, but I ran across one list that was running Deathmist Raptor in that list, and that was a little obnoxious. I think they're running the Deathmist Raptor, Den Protector combo.
Yeah. So he's running Green Red Devotion is what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was I'm not sure what they're calling it now, but I mean, I know it's green and red.
Devotion. He didn't have the Death Mist. He has the Death Mist Raptor, but not the. He does have the Radiclaw Mystic in there. Oh wait, no. What was the other one?
No, Den Protector.
Den Protector. I don't see Den Protector in the list.
Okay, maybe this list didn't. But you know, Radiclaw Mystic is still a pain too because I played games where. What was that? I mean, this is like,
My bad, man. Sorry. I told you about this a while back. Basically, the first surgery that I had, it screwed up my throat, and sometimes I get a lot of, like, excess phlegm in the back of my throat. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry, I was talking up a lung, dude.
Yeah, no problem. So, let's see. Yeah, because even, you know, when they play the average mana dork and they just play an elf or they play the character, you're just like, whatever, I don't care. It's not that big of a deal, but they play this stupid the shaman. This one's a shaman, right? Yeah. The 2/1 that ramps, right? It's a viable threat. It's so obnoxious, especially when you're playing a semi-controllish Abzan list, and it just attacks you for 2 on turn 3, and you're just like, oh man, I don't want to kill that thing, but you know you have to kill it, otherwise it's going to do a lot of damage to you. And then, or because you're trying to save all your spells for the dragons, it's really obnoxious. It's a good card in that list, I think.
Yep. Oh man. It was really actually a lot of the. Okay, so what caught my eye was all of the Delver variants, which they were doing so well, and I really liked how they worked. A lot of the like rug or bug variants that included. Oh, is Jason Origins? Well, who is that?
Yeah, Jason's in Origins.
Yeah, we've known that for a while.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the main SCG site, and he happened to pop up on the actual screen with Origins. Well, I'll be kind of bland-looking Jace, but anyhow.
Yeah, well, we do have some spoilers, though. We do know that, we've seen Liliana's card, and now we've seen Chandra's card.
Although there's some speculation about the Chandra's card, it might be a fake.
Oh,
I've seen some videos where they're kind of critiquing it. They're saying that the text for the title is too close to where the mana cost is at. Mm. And if you look at the bottom portion for the copyright, one's saying 2014, the other one's saying 2015. So there's some speculation there. That's just naming two of what I've seen so far.
Ah, I see. All right. Well, we're not gonna talk about Chandra then. But there have been some other Origin cards that have been spoiled, and within the Okinawa Facebook group, I started naming a conspiracy theory. So let's go look for those cards right now. Let's see. Does anybody have them pulled up?
I'm looking for them right now.
Okay, so, well, bottom line, Scry is coming back. So if Scry is coming back, what other card could potentially come back? Anybody? Yep.
Ooh, Red Scry. Yeah, Lightning Javelin is one of the spoiled cards. Three Lightning Javelin deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
Well, you're talking about Serum Visions, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You dog, you.
Yeah, so we all got excited about Serum Visions, right? And we're thinking, my God, yeah, these Serum Visions are going to be extremely expensive, and everybody's just going to run to their F&Ms. But with Scry available, and we do know that they tend to – F&M promos do tend to reflect commons and uncommons in standard, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Serum Vision might actually be in Origins.
I could see that. I could see that.
I mean, the mechanics line up. The fact that it's a card, it's a card in one of the current sets, that's in there too. I mean, look at the last couple of the cards that we've seen. They've all been with the current set. I mean, that's kind of something that they like to do anyway.
All right. Guessing the rarity of it. Is it going to be an uncommon or is it going to be a common?
Well, a lot of those F&M promo cards are uncommon. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, yeah, Bioblight was uncommon. Let's see. Absan, what is it? Is it Absan Butt Sniffer? That's uncommon.
Wait, what?
Oh, you haven't heard of this one?
No. Wait, what?
Yeah, okay. Absan Beastmaster. Go ahead and look at that card.
Absan Beast.
Actually, that's even the proper name. It's Butt Sniffer Hound. That's the proper name for it.
Absan Beastmaster.
I think so. Yeah.
At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card if you control a creature with a greater toughness or tied for the greatest toughness.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if Butt Sniffer Hound, at the beginning of your upkeep, Butt Sniffer Hound sniffs everybody's butts, and if it likes the butts bigger on your side, and he likes that, then you get a card. See?
Wow.
And it's a dog. That's what dogs do.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What? That's not that terrible.
Who came up with that?
I came up with that.
You came up with that?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Mm-mm.
I said it like a show or two ago.
Oh, man.
Anyway. So that was an uncommon. Bioblight was an uncommon. I think this month's F&M promo, which nobody wants, is that Frostwalker, I think.
Mm.
That's an uncommon, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me think that Serum Visions is an uncommon. Now, Brooks brought up a really good point. So if Serum Visions is an uncommon, then is Path to Exile, the August F&M promo leading up to Battle of Zendikar, is that going to be in Battle of Zendikar?
Ooh.
Because guess what? It brings in a land, right? And Zendikar is the set where lands matter.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it totally makes sense that if they reprint Path to Exile in a set, it's going to be at Uncommon.
Menace.
See, it's mm-hmm. all, you know, all the signs are pointing. The stars are aligning. We're in the seventh house of the moon or whatever that thing's called. Yeah, so.
That flavor text is horrible.
What?
Oh, it's the Beastmaster.
Oh.
No. Boggart Brute. Boggart Brute. The one that just got spoiled for the Goblin Warrior.
Yes, I saw that.
All right, now obviously.
Oh, yeah.
He has the biggest bashing stick, so it's safe to say he's the leader.
I just want to say this is a family show.
Let the minds begin to wonder.
This is a family show. What I was talking about was just the behavior that dogs tend to exhibit. Yeah.
And I totally went the other route.
Right. This is a family show. We're being hosted on the MTG Cast Network.
Hey, I didn't say anything towards it. All I said was read it.
Right. No, I gotcha. I gotcha.
So, I mean, I still think like Menace, him being a 3-2 with Menace for 3 is actually pretty decent.
I'm more excited about the fact that it's an evergreen word now.
Hmm?
Menace wasn't it didn't have its own term.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, that's true. I remember that.
And it's something that keeps popping up again and again, so it sounds to me like they're not going to make – it's not a new mechanic that many, many cards are going to share because it's just – I don't think it would be good for like a block mechanic or a set mechanic. But an evergreen mechanic, it totally makes sense, and I think that's actually really good. It's a really neat way of giving red evasion when usually it doesn't have evasion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, if we see blue and white have flying, black has intimidate, Let's see. Green has trample, which is some sort of evasion. And then I guess red now has what's this thing called? Menace?
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I missing a color? That's all of them, right?
Yeah, that's all of them.
Yeah, so now they all have something that – all the colors now have some sort of evasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that this thing at a 3-2, I mean, in the early rounds, like we were saying, unlimited, he's going to get in there a couple – he's going to deal anywhere from 3 to 6 to 9 damage.
Yep. That's ridiculously good. And if they come out with a set like a Mana Dork in that set as well – can you imagine that guy coming on in on two?
Oh god, that would be insane. Two-colored.
Oh my gosh.
Now is he let's see, is he an uncommon or uncommon?
He's a common.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's a common.
Can you imagine like having multiple of those on board at the same time? Your opponent's just gonna look at you and be like, who passed these all to him?
I just wanna build a red I'm gonna call that guy Red Delver now.
Yeah,
because
he's a 3-2.
Yeah, I just can't wait unlimited. I want to run him with a red black deck, just chock full of removal. I mean, mm-hmm. It happens sometimes. You get those decks and just mm-hmm. make sure your opponent stays on one creature the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm, mm, mm. Oh man. Yeah, that's the only cards I got spoiled so far.
I have Hyksos, Prison Warden.
Oh, what's
legendary
that?
Creature. He's a legendary creature, human soldier. He has flash. Part of the text is cut out on the image I'm looking at. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, if Hyksos, Prison Warden, entered the battlefield this turn, exile that creature until Hyksos leaves the battlefield.
Oh, wow.
And he's a white. He's a rare.
Sounds like a rare card.
I have a Hassian Thief. Assassin Thief?
I think that's... Is that the blue one?
Yeah, it's the blue one with Prowess.
Yeah, Prowess is coming back.
Mm-hmm. And the last one I mentioned earlier was Lightning Javelin.
Mm-hmm.
That was the three... It's four mana to do three damage and scry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. But, I mean, I guess yeah. I guess unlimited. I mean, you take what you can.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then again, I mean, in limited, you play hot. Depends on how far wide the set is. Because obviously, like we were speaking back in it was probably maybe 6-7 episodes ago, where the limited now goes super wide, where you can have like it lasts so long in the games. You're bringing out these creatures that cost 6-7 mana. Just to make a difference, you know, and even being able to delve for bigger creatures in early turns is like, ugh.
Okay, well, two questions. Is it an instant or a sorcery?
The Lightning Javelin's a sorcery.
Oh, okay. So that's an interesting thing. If it's an instant, I would argue that maybe there will be a decent amount of five toughness creatures. But because it's a sorcery... I think there's a chance that there may not be that many five toughness creatures.
Yeah.
And because that, so, and then this is common or uncommon?
This is common.
Oh, well, yeah, that kind of throws it off. Because it's not, because you know, the right now in limited, the uncommon spot is safe for the premium removal spells.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. So main GP Vegas, so supposedly half the show went, and then afterwards we just can't get him on the show. So
yep.
And so you know what? I'm still bitter about it. So forget GP Vegas. I mean, do you guys want to talk about the full Tarmogoyf from the top eight? I mean, that kind of was a big deal.
I mean, I really didn't pay too much attention to it. I heard about it. Some individuals mentioned it, and I looked at the post where it was – at that point when I happened to look, it was already at 12,000. I don't know what the final number was.
I heard it went as far as 16 or 19. Well, I think there was like a 19,000 bid, but then whoever that guy was, he posted that he had the $19,000 bid and then proudly proclaimed that there was no way in hell that he was going to pay that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. And on top of that, there's multiple instances of him. It wasn't him just dropping a gigantic bet. He had been literally poking the price up of the auction the whole time.
Mm, mm, That's messed up, man. People these days.
Yeah. And then somebody asked him, why are you doing this? And his response was, because I can. It's like, wow. I really
Hope. Man. So childish. What are you, playing Yu-Gi-Oh here? Jeez.
Yeah, pretty much. He flipped his trap card, and it was a $19,000 bid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's – I mean, that, you know what? I'll just go into it. Quick recap. Pascal Maynard in the top eight of GP Vegas. He had a chance to take Fork Lightning, was it? Or some Burn Spell or a full Tarmogoyf. And he decided to take the full Tarmogoyf instead. At the time, a lot of pros, to include Huey Jensen and who else? Owen Turnwald and a couple other people. They're just like, oh, I'm so disgusted. This is not the way of the pro Magic player. So then even more people got pissed off because then it was like, how dare you say what a Magic player should, you know, blah 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 blah. Feelings got hurt, and then afterwards, let's see what happened. And then he posted it on eBay. And then, because people are saying that a $500 Tarmogoyf was not worth the chance at taking down the GP, and that's not the way that a pro should behave. And then he posted it and gave half to charity, and now that thing is worth more than the GP was actually worth. Yeah. So
what was the downside of that again?
I don't know. He betrayed the pro player code. Never take the rare. I don't know.
There's a code? I thought it was whatever card that you saw that would help your deck and help your deck.
In this case, Tarmogoyf is a really nice card, no matter what.
Well, in this case, he took the card that was going to help out his life. Yeah. So there you go. Pascal Maynard is a rare drafter. Just make sure everybody knows he's a dirty, dirty rare drafter.
All over that. Just saying.
Hey, I've been known to a rare draft. I've been known to drop from seal pools because I opened a Korean Foil Polluted Delta. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Yep.
For that one.
I've never looked back.
That was on like episode maybe within the first five.
I think it was like around episode 10, I think.
Ah. Wow. Yeah. So long ago.
Yeah, something like that. It happened like last October, I think.
So surprised we're at episode 26, 7, 5, or somewhere around there right about now.
Yeah, we should be higher. It's just we become someone like a bi-monthly show now. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you now have, from what I'm seeing on the chat, the Traveling Mages chat you've got on Facebook, there's at least – well, I remember when we first started, we had like four people on it. Now we've got at least like 10 people showing up
and,
well, on there. As in
10
like
people 10 on the people list and nobody shows up.
I know, right? Yeah. Right? I was surprised Chris is not on right now with us.
I know. He's just – ever since he got back from GP Chiba, which is we wanted to talk about that on the show too. He's just been a little – I guess he's been busy with work or something. So I mean, I can't blame him with that.
But, ooh, Game of Thrones episode 9. Sorry. Squee.
Are they barely in episode 9?
Yeah, it was just released.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As long as Game of Thrones has been a thing, you'd think they'd be like on episode 40 or something, or at least.
No. This is episode 9 of season 5.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Each season's 10 episodes.
Okay, yeah, and that makes sense. Look, hey, I have a rule. I will not watch a show until it's been around at least for 10 years. And then
I remember us talking about this.
Yes, once it has stood the test of time, then I will watch the show and then be
this thing has stood more than just the test of time, man. The fandom and everything.
I don't know. I'm still giving it a chance to jump the shark at some point so that I'm not like, oh, I wasted 7 years of my life watching this show and then like the Fonzie showed up and he jumped the shark with a motorcycle.
Well, I mean, the only way that the Fonzie would jump the shark on the motorcycle on this one would be if the creator of it. Yeah, or the dragon. It would be the creator of it who is writing the books happens to pass away before he can finish that seventh book.
He's actually already told the directors of the show, directors/writers of the show, about everything that's going to happen, who dies until the end of the book, just in case if he does pass.
Oh, okay. There we go.
So it's kind of already been taken care of.
Good.
He's actually kind of already released the end paragraph of the book, quote unquote.
You can find a comment on it on IMDb.
I'm probably not going to look for that because I want to be able to enjoy the show.
It's just it's just a little piece of scenery. That's all you get in this little description.
No, but that can make up a whole lot from the show.
And then Sarkon showed up, and there were dragons everywhere. There you go.
That's pretty much what's happened. In correlation with what's happened in the Magic universe and happened in the Game of Thrones universe.
I heard it was like dragons are not that big of a deal. But then there's rumors about it. And then there's some Scandinavian girl that like she like loves dragons or something. I don't know if she's Scandinavian. She's just really, really pale.
Yeah.
And then Sarkon shows up and there's dragons everywhere. See? That's the ending of Game of Thrones. Wizards just spoiled it for everybody.
There you go. Season 6, they're going to do that time travel jump. That's where the Jump the Sharks episode's going to happen.
No, that's when like they're like, hello, my name is Sarkon. I'm a planeswalker. You don't know about these planeswalking shenanigans, but I have come from another plane, and I will bring dragons to you, because I heard you guys really dig the dragons over here. So dragons for everybody. Yay.
So, so Serum Visions, it's August, correct?
Yes.
No, July.
July.
Isn't Path to Exile August?
Jeez.
I'm trying to remember what's on my head.
Because otherwise, what's next month? I mean, we got Frostwalker this month. Ugh.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris is trying to get on.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
You guys still recording? You just messaged that like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I just got it.
Oh, let me close my Facebook chat before you end up. Go ahead.
It popped out. It's okay. Better shows than us have the same problem. So.
Okay, good. But I went ahead and closed mine anyhow.
As soon as I hear shows that I respect, like have it, it makes me feel a whole lot better about all of our mistakes.
All right, good. You going to add Chris?
Yeah, give me a second.
Good.
I shouldn't because I don't want to hear about GP Chiba, but whatever.
Really?
Well, yeah. Anyway, here it is. I'm at the call.
There you go. Hey, Leia, stop. Seriously? That is not cool. Sorry, guys. Yo. My dog's trying to lick my feet.
And that's kind of probably getting cut off.
Stop biting me. What? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, it's the funniest thing is obviously while we're trying to get Chris on and we're jump shipped to another part that's not magic-wise, learned lately that dogs – whatever their owners – like particular items of their owners, they go for it. Like that's the reason why she's now ate three of my apnea appliances.
Of your what? Oh.
Yeah, my sleep apnea appliances, which is another reason why I'm not getting any good sleep lately is because my lab, the dental lab, is fabricating my sleep apnea appliance right now. Mm-hmm. And wait, because my dog ate it. And then also a lot of – and me and my doctor, we talked about this. We were like – I was like, she's getting into everything. Like – or certain items, but everything of that certain item, whether it be my shirt, my underwears, the my slippers, and particularly my apnea appliances. Well, my doc said, hey, it has to do with the fact that they love your scent. It reminds – it's like that time when you're away, it reminds them of you, particularly you. So I guess it may be like kind of a – I don't know. How do you say it? Not a homesick type of deal. But
Yeah. But they're missing you.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a device that it looked like a rebreather. It looked like that thing that they used in Star Wars in Episode 1 when they like went underwater breathing.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
Yeah,
it looked cool.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe you should try that, and then you could stick that in a drawer. And I mean, unless she knows how to open drawers, and that's pretty crafty. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, at that point, you should teach her how to steal things. Then.
Well, she's a sly dog, anyhow. She got the best of me because basically I accidentally left it on the I didn't accidentally leave it. I left it on the counter for like less than 10 seconds, and she got to it without me knowing because I thought she was eating her food. Well, lo and behold, she actually got to my apnea appliance instead because I had just woken up from my nap. Chris, you on with us or what?
No, I keep calling him, and then the call keeps dropping, or he keeps hanging up. I'm not sure.
This guy. Anyhow.
Anyway, so I got a new project that I've been wanting to talk about for a while.
No.
Yes, and so the there he goes again. He's not.
Ooh, bless you.
So thank you. You know what? As soon as you sneeze, his picture went away. So like you sneezed him away. Anyway, Mr. Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum. So I started a new project. Some people may know this, some people may not, but Planeswalker points reset last Monday. So and I'm talking about the yearly points, your lifetime points, which don't even really matter that much anyway. Those are still there, but your yearly points have now reset because Wizards has a new way of scoring buys, where it used to be a seasonal buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a yearly buy. And of those yearly buys, you need 1,300 points for one, and I believe it's 2,500 points for two. And those are actually fairly easy to get if you keep going to GPs consistently and doing fairly well. You'll rack up a buy eventually. So I've been thinking about it, and the fact that there's not that many GPs out here in South Korea, and by not many I mean zero.
No, we're getting one, I think, next year.
Are you serious?
Here in Seoul. I think that's what the owner at Kindle said. He mentioned that they're trying to get one here in Korea.
Oh, wow. So what, like, you know, what month?
I don't know.
Well, that's even more reason for what I'm trying to do. So my goal for the next year, and I think within a year from now, I'll be able to attend a lot of GPs, I think. And so my goal for the next year is to rack up as many points as possible in order for me to have a buy for the year that follows. Because whatever points you rack up in 1 year season, so for example, if you made the two rounds in this calendar year or this season or point year that just finished, you have that number of buys until next year. Mm-hmm. So until next May, if last Sunday you had 2,501, then you have two buys until next May. So the way I'm looking at it is I'm thinking for the future, in about a year from now, I think I'll be able to attend a lot of GPs. So I'm thinking, okay, so maybe I need to grind as many tournaments as I can in order for me to get the points I need for me to have at least one buy when I'm able to go to GPs again. So I sat down and I did the math for this, right? Mm. And I think it's going to take the way I worked it out was, okay, I need 1,300 divided by 52 because that's 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
I think it comes out to roughly 25 points a week. And then of those 25 points, then I thought, well, I think it can be reasonable to attend three events a week. So now we're looking at F&M, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Yeah.
And then I've been trying to squeeze in one extra event for four. And if I do that, I need to get 8.3 points per event. And then if I do four, then it comes down to like seven, which it's actually still a lot of winning because if you play a three-round event and you win, you're gonna get 10 points. But but what I'm counting on is I'm counting on GPTs, PPTQs, and game days and all sorts of events that have point multipliers in order to give me that margin I need just in case that variance hits in and I'm not making 8 points per event on average. Then hopefully getting a couple of these point multiplier events that are like 3-time multipliers or 4-time multipliers, or I think a PPTQ is, then if I was able to do that, then hopefully that's going to give me the margin I need to be able to make sure that I have a buy by the time I get done. And so that's kind of my new project for the year. I think it's something that I'm going to keep regularly updating on the show. And then it's just a good conversation jump off because I can talk about the events that I hit, I can talk about the decks I played, how I think I did with them, and whether I'm going to keep playing them. So the first week is now complete, and I checked up my points, and I have 31 points.
Good.
Yeah. So little margin extra. So that helped out a lot. The key events, I took down F&M, so that was pretty nice. And then I did just kind of like an average in all the other events. So that was pretty cool. And right now my modern deck right now is Abzan midrange, and right now my standard deck is a pseudo hybrid standard control but with the Den Protector Raptor combo in there, just because there's you cannot play green and not play those 4-8 cards today. It feels like,
yeah, they just work off each other too well.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's just so much card advantage against Esper decks. It just piles in the card advantage. eventually they'll run out of stuff, and then you just Den Protector, and boom, you got three Raptors. That's pretty good. So the deck has been playing pretty well. I think it's been doing fine so far. I am considering maybe just to try it out for a tournament or two this coming week, just trying out. I saw a mono red deck list that is becoming in between aggro and mid range. The top of the curve is Thunderbrick Regent. Hmm. Yeah. So what it does is it runs that Lightning Berserker. Is that what it's called? The guy with dash.
Two? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it runs four of those. It runs the Taylor Swift Spear. It runs in the main board. It runs four of the Eidolon. What is it? Eidolon and Rebel? Is that the one? Mm. Yeah, it runs
Eidolon, Great Rebels.
Yeah, it runs four of those. I've seen different lists, but I've seen anywhere between two to four of the Phoenix, the one that when you kill it, if you have four toughness on the board, which is actually kind of easy to get with the
Thunderbreaks.
Thunderbreaks and the Lightning Berserker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can do that. You can pay one, and then you can get it back from the graveyard, which is a really nice card advantage for some of the later decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Thunderbreak Regent. I mean, you can't complain with Thunderbreak Regent.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's just heavy power in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm considering maybe trying that deck out. I think it'd be good to shake up the meta a little because, I mean, Mono Red hasn't been doing anything. And I've seen that deck has been doing some things online. It hasn't been that great. Dan, you're not playing Standard right now, are you? Because you're not saying
anything. I'm not. I'm still waiting on whether – I'm trying to still debate on whether or not I even want to get back into Standard anytime soon.
Don't do it.
I know, right? I really just – the fact that they're going to the two-block format or the two-set block. Oh, gosh.
Well,
yeah.
I think good investment, Dragon's Turkier. I think get your stuff right now. It's out of all the sets that have been currently released, it's the set that's going to be in Standard the most. So, you know, if you haven't bought and that's kind of like my thing is I would like to play Red-Green Dragons, but the bottom line is I did not invest into it's not Storm Breath. It's the other one. The other dragon. The Theros dragon.
Oh, the one it's pro white, and I do not like that card.
Yeah, that card. Yeah, so a lot of lists run that dragon, and I think I have maybe one or two tops. And so I don't feel like investing into it because, I mean, it's in Theros. Theros will rotate fairly soon, so I just don't feel like putting my money into it.
Yeah.
But I think if... I just think it's right now. If you see yourself playing Standard anywhere within the next year and a half, I think Dragon's Turkier, getting your Ojutai's, a lot of those cards I think are going to have a lot of mileage coming up in the future Standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, July's promo is Path of Exile.
Mm. Oh, is it?
Yes.
So Serum Visions is not until
August.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, does that change the conspiracy theory?
I don't think so. Don't think so. But it also might mean that Path might be released in Origins.
Yeah. That too. I mean, it would cost because we were talking about it, and I think it would cost a lot of havoc, and
it would.
And would return to Battle for Zendikar.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how bad it would be if you declare attackers, opponent declares blockers, you go Path the big one, and then your opponent goes, okay, I get my land. Oh, by the way, these two trade now. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah, landfall. You're like, oh, dang it. Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
I have to admit, though, the new Path art for it looks really good.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
It looks really good.
Oh, I must see.
Oh, here, I'll post the link.
Got it. Sweet. Do that, please.
And it kind of makes more sense because, you know, the Path to Exile, and it's just, you know, whatever creature is like, you know what, I'm going to become a wanderer. I'm done fighting. I want to go see the world. It just seems like a very white, white thing to do, you know, like in that part.
Noble,
of
honor, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's just like, you know what, I'm done with fighting. I want to go see the world. And by the way, I found this land, so here you go.
Oh, the armor that the guy that the warrior is wearing reminds me of armor from the Kamigawa block, or you could say it's from a Tarkir, from one of the warriors from the Tarkir block. So it's just the way that the armor looks kind of looks like that.
Yeah,
if you look at the art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. The I don't know. That's it looks cool. I want it.
Ooh. Or it just might be a very young Sarkon.
No, I'm.
The more I look at it, it's like, it kind of looks like Sarkon if he was a lot younger, like when he first planeswalked. if you look at the lore, because if when one of his first cards that came out for him, he had a staff and did have kind of a red cape slash scarf ish thing.
Okay, so. I want to look at it again, and here's the reason why: because if I remember right, that card specifically, the little hero character in it, he looked clean.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whenever I think of Sarkon, honestly, I just think of him as really grimy. You know, he's just dirty and he like rolls in the mud and worships dragons. And
ah, I see it. Excuse me. May through July FNM promo update. So the staff with the lands. I don't know. I think the best I think the best art was the I actually like the one that comes in the is it conspiracy? The one with the guy who has the sword over his back.
Oh, that's actually Swords to Plowshares.
Oh, my bad. I'm out of it. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
wait, how is he holding
FNM
the sword?
Promo. It's FNM promo. The one where the guy and this is actually I love it because I actually used to have it in Japanese as well. I think you may have bought it from me.
I probably did, and I know which one you're talking about because I have like 8.
Well, this is the one where it has the female in the background. The guy he's laying down with his sword on top of him.
Yeah, it looks like some ancient burial, like yes. Some Viking burial.
Yes,
that one is a judge promo, I think.
Yes.
And that's I do have a playset of that one in Japanese and a couple of those in English. I think that's Chris finally messaging, trying to get on.
Tell me why I searched up Path to Exile and I found a picture of Jerry Thompson with his blonde hair.
What?
I wonder what's in your Google history.
I know, right? Path to Exile. It goes to I put in the Path to Exile and I pressed images. And it pulled up like Jerry Thompson as one of the pictures with his like pure blondish hair. That just doesn't look right on Jerry Thompson. I don't know why he even did that in the first place.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, you know what? I keep trying to add Chris, and you hear those bleeping. It's because
bloop 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 bloop. Chris,
you keep telling him you're not answering.
Try now.
Yeah. Let's see. All right, we try again.
Chris, you need to get off of your Wi-Fi then.
Shoot, we got like 7 or 8 minutes left on the show. Anyway, so you know, so while we're still waiting for Chris, so squeezing in 3 to 4 Magic tournaments into your life is actually kind of hard.
You got to do a lot of planning around it.
Right, I got to plan insanely, right? And I already missed a couple of things just because I just didn't plan it right. So since I'm completely reorganizing my life, I thought, well, what else could I reorganize while I'm at it? And I thought, you know what? This is a great time to get back in the gym. Yeah, so now the goal is to make sure I hit the gym every day and play 4 Magic tournaments a week. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to be hitting all this time in the gym, I might as well be eating better. So now all of a sudden, I'm just, you know, like today I made some rice and ground beef and an insane amount of vegetables, and that was my dinner, and that's pretty good, and that's kind of cool. It just
what type of rice?
It was just white rice.
No, infinitely horrible.
I didn't eat that much.
Yeah,
you're just eating air at that point.
Whatever, man. Whatever.
Whatever, Dan. Shut up. Well, you eat pancakes with syrup. I don't want to hear it, Dan. When you diet down, you eat eggs with cheese.
Mr. Baker.
I know, right? And yet I still lose weight.
No, but so that's the thing, is that I'm taking a different approach from usual. You know, usually I dial down a lot on the foods and blah blah blah, and I avoid carbs like they're evil. And so now I think I'm just gonna bulk up. I just said, you know, screw it. We're just gonna be like beefcake, and just be like beefcake, and then just eat and eat. I mean, I'm not gonna eat really fatty stuff, but I'm thinking I'm gonna eat large portions. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. And so peanut butter is my best friend now, and I got bananas and fruits, and just whenever I'm hungry, I stuff my face with something that is relatively healthy, but I'll still eat it. I'm thinking, and then the goal is just to just give my body all that fuel, so as I'm lifting, I have all this extra energy, and so that I can lift and have energy, and then grow some muscle, and then the muscles grow, and then that eats, you know, more muscles raise your basal metabolic rate, which means that you burn fat just sitting around. So that's my new goal now. And the reason I'm bringing this up in a magic show is because I'm thinking this is really cool. You know, it's a really positive thing that I'm doing, where I'm literally mixing magic with going to the gym, with so I'm listening to magic podcasts as I'm lifting weights, right? And then making sure that I walk, I take the long route to the shop just so I get a little bit extra, burn a little bit extra calories walking to the shop, and then doing all this just as a total like magic overhaul. Because you know, a lot of people they want to become grinders, and what I'm doing is grinding. It's not high level grinding. I'm not grinding PTQs, but I'm still grinding. I'm grinding all these different events, right?
Yeah, you're getting those points.
Right, and so when you see grinders and they completely reorganize their life to go around grinding, they end up picking up a lot of bad habits. And this is how I'm trying to bring this back into magic. And it's just kind of like, wow, you know, so the challenge is, can I actually become a grinder and actually end up in better shape for it physically afterwards?
Like one of the things that I was discussing with on Facebook for the new MTG Minot area, since I'm heading to Minot, I explained this in a few episodes ago that I'm already four and a half months out, and I've already introduced myself pretty much to the player base there and kind of given them my background as to what I can bring to the community, what I've brought to the community here, and then like the fact that I alter cards and all this extra stuff, and the fact that even while being here in Japan, I had the opportunities to take advantage of, for now, the yen rate exchange, the 125 to a dollar, which is awesome. And if anybody needs anything, because like perfect fits here are super, super cheap because of that, then hit me up and I can – well, unfortunately, I took kind of a hit doing that. But anyhow, I was talking on there with a couple other guys, and they were talking about GP Las Vegas. And while they were talking about that, one of the guys mentioned that he was going to start doing running and running to get in shape – or not more in shape, but have more endurance – because he wants to do that for the event. And one of the guys there mentioned, you know, that's a retarded thing. And I was like, wait, how's that retarded? Do you not understand that physical and mental exhaustion come from longer events like that, where most of the time you don't get the actual advantage of, you know, if you go to time, you don't get that chance to eat. And if you go to time again in the next round, you don't get that chance to eat. You're not getting your fuel to your body, which is not going to help you with your mental like state, because once your body goes catabolic, you start to lose the ability to think. Catabolic to individuals, it's a state of your body where you start to eat your own fat rather than your muscle rather than your fat as energy. And sometimes it causes people to get kind of lightheaded. Sometimes it causes people to get like a natural high, which is a lot of what like runners get, that runner's high, because they're used to burning so much that sometimes they dip into other reserves and it just kind of gives them this euphoric high.
I notice for me, I get this sweet taste in my mouth. Like I haven't eaten anything, but my mouth starts tasting sweet. So that's that's something that I've learned in previous weightlifter diets I tried, and this one too. You get to know when your body is hungry, and that's something I realized right away. And when I went to Nagoya, I mean, Willick attested this. I quote unquote had a meal plan, and you know what? It wasn't like I was like, you know, eating. I wasn't eating healthy back then, but I understood from previous times I had done diets. I understood that at a certain point, my body was going to be craving more glycogen or more sugar, And what was going to happen then was that as it required this, I needed to raise my sugar, my blood sugar level, so that my brain could start thinking again. So what I did is I packed like a bunch of and this is going to sound terrible, but I packed sandwiches and sugary drinks, and I make sure that my blood sugar level remained constant throughout the entire event, so that I wouldn't crash in the later rounds.
Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. And like I was saying, the guy who I think he's in. And the guy, I guess he's in shape, but his opinion of it, you know, the fact that the guy was trying to get in shape for the event, it was retarded that he would mention that doesn't actually factor into longer events like that GP. Give me a break. anyhow. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Jose, because the one particular event that I can relate to you on that part will be – it was a game day that I went into. As a matter of fact, it was top eight, and then I went to semis, and then I went to finals. But we didn't end up playing out finals. Myself and Mike, we ended up splitting the prizes, and I got all the packs. Mike got the playmat, and he got the first place, which is what Mike wanted. Mm-hmm. But it was because Mike pretty much gave out. Mike told me, he was like, dude, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I want to go home. Me, I was perfectly fine, ready to play with my band deck that was 7-0 at that point.
Right.
And I was ready to play because throughout the whole – at that time I was dieting and dieting down, and I had my meal set literally with me at Zeros in my pouch ready to go, and I was eating throughout the whole day just making sure that I was good to go. And that played a huge factor in the fact that, like, I was able to think straight no matter what, because obviously, like you said, everything was good to go as far as blood glycogen. I didn't go catabolic, and I was drinking enough water as well, because water plays a huge factor in a lot of things, especially with those that are, like, as active as we are with the gym.
Right.
So
that's what I wanted to bring you on the show, because so what I want to do now is I want to I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. It'll probably be the show's title, but like the Grinder Challenge or something, right? Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing is I'm challenging myself. I'm going to open it up. I will probably do some sort of updates on both the show and on the Facebook group, where I'm going to talk about how many points I have, like, you know, how my grinding is going, and how my goal to bulk up and lose weight, but at the same time get weight, you know, get bigger while losing body fat, how that is going. And I think that's, you know, any listener that would love to join us, and you know, and you know what, I'm sorry, but we're gonna talk about fitness somewhat regularly in the show now. I mean, at least it's for 5 or 10 minutes. And so if anybody wants to take the challenge, then by all means, you know, I'm glad to share what workouts I'm trying out, where I'm getting my stuff at, and you know what I'm following. And you know what, I'm eating. Granted, I'm not eating like going and just downing the insane amounts of noodles I used to eat, but I'm eating in very large quantities of food that I think I find very, very enjoyable. Just tonight, and maybe this is actually some people might actually think this is kind of sad, but I got very excited because I went to go buy some water at the little mini grocery store at the base of my building, and they had some pineapple slices pre-cut, just ready to go. And I was just like, yes, fruit. I'm allowed to eat fruit, lots of fruit. And so I just bought them up, and I'm excited. And after the show, that's what I'm going to go have for my little dessert tonight. And that's actually really excited. I've come home, and I'm hungry, and I can take a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, as long as you're using natural peanut butter with no sugar added, and you're using jelly with no sugar added, that's just actual, you know, strawberry preserves, then that's actually pretty good for you. And it's I think it will help my magic playing, you know, healthy body, healthy mind kind of thing. And I think so I want to see how it pans out. You know, I'm going to throw down the challenge. If anybody wants to join, then they're more than welcome to. And that's I think that's just something neat. And yes, we are going to talk about it every week.
Well, I think what you're having there, and we can talk about it a little bit more in the next episode, but you're going into what I call IIFYMs, or what Right now, you're not really tracking your macros, but it still sounds more like an if it fits your macros type of diet, because with that type of diet, it's called flexible dieting. And with that flexible dieting, it's not like the and like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about it in the next episode, but it's more along the lines, it doesn't give you as much mental stress as the other dieting.
And right, so and that's why that's why I've actually, you know, dropped other diets in the past, because I just couldn't take it anymore.
Exactly. So more and more people on a regular basis are starting to pick up this IIFYMs, which is more of a scientific approach to dieting, and it works. And it encourages people because they eat what they like and they're able to stick to it because they're mentally happy. And it doesn't even matter the amount, it's the taste. To me, I've gotten used to the taste of what I like, not feeling gluttonous, because at this point I can't even eat a full thing of Cocos before I get I feel like, oh, I need to go ahead and toss the rest of this. That's how good this is.
Yeah, and you know, the when I jumped on this one and I was doing the research for it, literally it said you're allowed 2 cheat meals a week. And I'm just like, I'm 2? I get 2 cheat meals? That's amazing. Because I've done stuff where I'm just like, oh, I can't wait until Saturday. Or you know that somebody's like, oh, so-and-so's going away party is on Thursday, so we're all going to Chili's. And you're thinking, damn it, I don't want to blow my cheat meal on Dave. I want to eat. But it has happened in the past. Where it's just kind of like, yeah, this is we're going to so-and-so's party, and it's at such-and-such place. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to waste my cheat meal there. So with 2, that's amazing. And and that's the whole point is, and when you have 2 of them, like I noticed I had my 2 cheat meals last week, I did not gorge as much. Why? Because I knew I had another one.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. There seems to be some sort of psychological thing. And right now it's just been a matter of replacing stuff. Just a lot of foods have been replaced, and I know how to cook basic things, so that's the thing. I'm just, you know, doing more of my own cooking.
Quote unquote basic.
Well, I used to work in a restaurant, so I mean, but you know, like today, I just had I just took some very easy ground meat, very lean ground meat, and I just sautéed that up and put some frozen vegetables in there, and then took some rice that I cooked up real quick and just made a sort of like weird amalgamation of paella and fried rice. Yeah. So yeah, if anybody is interested, there's more coming. I'll be posting stuff on it, and I think it's cool, and it feels good. And I think that's something I always felt, you know, it's not that the magic community needs help, but I think sometimes the magic community, maybe with a little bit more encouragement, we could be more than we already are.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, kind of frustrates me about the community sometimes. Because you know, sometimes it's like the basic things, like, hey, man, where are the deodorant?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
You know?
Yes.
You wouldn't repel girls so much if, you know, you just wore some deodorant. Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe that's all it's going to take. You know? And so, and you know, I can see a lot of people like, hey, I'm happy with the way I am. And that's fine. You know, that's completely fine. But if you want to take a challenge, because I think this is a somewhat spiky podcast anyway, and so I just, you know what? Oh, you know what? PV does this. I think there's a couple of pros that are actually, within the last 2 or 3 years, have gotten heavily into bodybuilding.
Hmm.
And these are magic pros. I'm going to have to look them up. And you know what? That we will talk about that next week.
No, so, awesome.
So that way when they go, what does it mean to me in magic? I'm gonna be like, well, you know what? So and so pro does it. So that means you pro. So there you go, metagame that.
Sweet. Time to look it up.
Time to net deck that diet.
Yep.
So that's like the positive thing for the week, I think. That's, you know, they wanna bring some positivity to the show. And just something for people, you know, like something that people can follow week to week. And if we can get like a whole group of people that are doing this, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, it's a great start. It's a trendsetter.
I think I saw like a hashtag like MTG Fitness or something. It's already been done.
Now you got me looking that up.
Yeah, it's, look it up on Twitter. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Oh, geez, Twitter. I still barely get on that thing.
Yeah. I have one, but I don't use it.
I'm on there like, you know, maybe once, twice a day. I just quickly swipe through it, and if I find some interesting tweets, I'll stop and read them. Other than that, I'll just...
Apparently there is MTG Fitness. Yeah, here also new link.
See? I told you.
I just got to look up. I'm not going to look it up just yet. Guys, come on.
Well,
no, just, it's there for you.
So we'll talk about it next week. Anybody that wants to go check it out can go check it out. And you know what? I don't necessarily condone of anything on that site, on that link, because God knows what's actually on it. Because we haven't checked that out yet. So if there's some weird stuff on there, hey, that's on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, anything else, guys?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
No.
Dan, contact information.
The GNG Alters, as far as alters go. And then, of course, my Facebook and or the Traveling Mages page. Facebook, obviously, is my first and last name, regular. So it's Daniel Galakyak. You can reach, I'm on Twitter at etchchampion85. And then also I'm on what is the other one? I can't remember what it was. But I'm on there as Galaxy Alters, the one where you posted a lot of your pictures.
Okay.
I can't remember what it is. Yeah, go for it. All right, Josh, cool. It's all yours.
Josh, you don't have to. Any content information you want to put out?
I actually really don't really have any. I'm pretty – I stay pretty antisocial when it comes to social networking. But if anybody likes to pick up to see what's going on over here in Seoul, MTG Seoul Group on Facebook is the one I'm actually more active on.
Yes, that's actually very true. We would like new players.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as for me, as usual, you can find me on Twitter at Jose, J-O-S-E, _LUIS_LIY. And check out the Traveling Mages Facebook page, which we're going to talk about magic. I might post some of my grinding stuff on there. And definitely, it's going to become a new fitness page now. Or, well, I don't know. Not too much. I won't do it, or some other people might kill me. But, but yeah, so I think, yeah, that's about it. As usual, thanks for listening. Hey, Josh, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime, anytime.
That was great. I think, you know, I would like for you to come on more often. That was really good, man.
Thank you. Yeah, anytime. I'll have to check my schedule, though. So whenever you got one coming up, I'll see what's going on with me, and I'll say, hey, if I'm good to go, I'm good to go.
All right, cool. And as usual, thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.